In the book of Isaiah, for our scripture reading tonight, if you'll turn with us to Isaiah chapter 43, I want to read a few verses there and talk to you as the Lord would help us and touch us. I feel like this is what the Lord laid on my heart to talk with you about. If I had something else, I'd go to it, but I don't, so here I am. So we're going to see where the Lord will go with this. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Hallelujah. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and thy people for thy and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seeds from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by thy name, for I have created thee for my glory. I have formed thee, yea, I have made him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you look at these setting of scriptures that I'm reading here, the Isaiah the prophet, I've made mention often and a lot that he is one of, to me, he is my greatest Old Testament prophet that I love more than any of the others. He prophesies great things concerning the coming of Christ and the things of the church. He would prophesy of things that was taking place with him then, things would take place in the future. And he seemed to be a prophet of hope. And he seemed to be a great prophet of consolation and comfort. As he would talk to the people. Now, he was a stern prophet. He would rebuke when rebuking needed to be. He would send the reproof of the Lord upon their hearts where they needed to be. But yet, he seemed to find ways of comforting their heart. And you'll find in this passage of Scripture here that I read in our hearing, if we look at the connection of these words here in these first few verses, you will see that they were spoken in the view of encouraging the church. I can read it over to you again, but just go home again and read it, and you'll see that he's actually encouraging the church to realize that he is still God. They are still his church. He still is in control. He still can do great things. He will do great things. And we're living in a dead hour that it seems to us that we're merely getting by and we're just struggling along. But I want to tell you, God is still in control. He is still running his business just like it needs to be run. He still knows what needs to take place and he still knows how to do it. He still knows what comes to mind in your way and how to handle it for you and I. He told them to fear not. I know you, Jacob. I know you, Israel. I formed you, Israel. I made you, Jacob. I understand who you are. I redeemed you. I called you. I made you. I know you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you must understand here that he does know who he is. Praise God. And we see here, in the view of these scriptures here tonight, we can see the fact that he is comforting them or encouraging them that he is still going to take care of things. I want to tell you tonight, church, I don't know what tomorrow holds for this country. I don't know what's going on. I'm not preaching Newsweek to you. I'm not preaching on Fox News or world events. I'm telling you, God still rules and reigns. He still sits on the throne, and He still is in control. He still has a church that will be the church of the living God. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that. I know we're living in an hour that we wonder sometimes why we're struggling like we are. And if you hear us preacher talk, we are so depressed and so weary. Praise God sometimes. And we do get that way. If I listen to this outside world, I do get discouraged. If I listen to the events that's going on in this outside world, I get kind of weary because I don't know the answers. But when I get in the pulpit and I walk behind God's sacred desk and I see He's still in charge and He's still running His business, I'm almost in a cheering section of saying, come on, church, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God, the Lord loves His church and He loves to see His church full of courage and confidence. Don't you get weary on Him now. Don't you get disheartened now. Don't you get disturbed now. We're right on the edge of one of the greatest events the church could ever be in. Hallelujah. Let's be faithful to what you say. But sometimes we feel and sometimes we seem and sometimes it looks like, even as ministers and in our ministry, it appears that we just labor in vain. And we spend our strength at naught. Looks like nothing's happening. Nothing's taking place. Nothing's working. Nothing's, don't seem like nothing's can be accomplished. You ever feel like that sometimes? You ever notice it even in your everyday walk with God? Even in your everyday walk with the Lord? Even in your prayer life and even in your devotions and in your times of Bible study? You find sometimes it looks like it becomes so routine there's no benefit in it at all. Don't you go weary. I want to preach to you a little while. Praise God. And it seems to be that we just get to the place that we're plowing and we're sowing and we're planting and it's falling on hard ground and we don't see the fruits of it. We can't see the produce of it. We can't see the benefits of it. But don't you go weary. Praise God. We don't seem like nothing's taking root. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, please. I want you to read along with me here. See what the Lord has to tell us. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I don't know how it happened. I don't understand that scripture at all. I never could understand bread being on water. But what he's saying, you just go ahead and do what you can do. He'll come back to you. Notice what he says. Give a portion to seven. Now, seven's always been a complete number with God. But that ain't what he stops with. And he said also to eight. Go a little further. Just do a little more. I'm going somewhere with this, I think. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. That is the purpose of filling up a cloud. That's the reason for a cloud to get full of rain. So it can empty itself out. Church, don't you get weary. Do something for God. He's going to do His part. If a tree shall fall to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth there to be, it'll just stay there. It's through. That's it. That's all. But notice this. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. We're letting things hinder us from doing things for God. If you observe the wind, if you take the note of the wind, you just won't do anything. You just feel like it ain't worth your time to sow. And notice what it says. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You can't quit because a cloud comes up. All clouds don't hold harm. Some clouds are for good. Just hold on. You can reap even if the clouds rises up. As thou knowest what is in the way of the Spirit. Now notice this. Verse 5, it tells you, you don't understand it anyhow. Notice verse 5. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. You can't understand that. I can't figure that. I can't find that. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Just like you can't explain how that body is formed and makes bones inside of another person, just as much God has said, you can't figure out what I'm doing, but I'm still God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. But here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want you to hear. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. You know what he's saying? Don't you quit. Don't you stop. Church, it looks like everything's in no, but you go ahead one more round. Give to 7 and then give me one more shot. Give it to completeness and do one more time. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to a place I'm going to preach if I can. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening hold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So what we're finding here, even with all these promises, even with all this encouragement, even with all this hope, sometimes the church seems to want to give up on her mission. We are a sad church when we become complacent and contented with our 4 and no more. We are a sad church when we ever get to the place that we decided this is about it. This is going to be the crop. These will be my neighbors. These will be the folks I'll shout with. These will be the folks I'll go to heaven with. And when we get to that place and about decide it's Kyle, it's just me and you, it's going to be a mess there, buddy. And we get to the place, we forget our mission. We forget what the church is supposed to be doing. And even with these promises, sometimes the church finds herself trembling and in fear of saying, I don't know how we're going to do this. What are we going to do, Lord? I'm going somewhere. But we cannot give up our mission to be an enlightenment to this world. But sometimes the church is very apt to just continue in a faint and a feeble heart, and we do it just out of mere doing it. When you go to church just because you go to church, you're wasting your time at church. When you go to worship God just because it's time for us to go worship God, and if you forget your purpose for going to the house of God, you are one more bored and miserable child of God. But when you go with expectation, when you go looking for the Lord to do, when you go expecting God to do, I want to tell you, church, He knows what the church is. He knows where the church is at. He knows what the church can take. He knows what the church will do. He knows all about the church, and He is still in control. And let's just be the church that He wants us to be. Praise God. Listen. Sometimes we just get just mere doing it with very little zeal. You remember when you had some zeal? Now, old age didn't kill all of us. Some of us just left. Because there's still old folks with zeal. And some of us just let the zeal get away. But we have very little zeal. We have very little ambition. We have very little hope. We have very little joy. And we're just going to church. But my scripture, if you'll let me preach it tonight, gives the church hope. Jacob, I formed thee. Jacob, I created thee. Israel, I made you. Fear not, I am with you. I am the Lord God of Israel. Now, I know I'm talking Old Testament scripture here, but I'm referring to the New Testament church. He is still God that is still on the throne.
I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel.
Hallelujah. Well, James teaches us, I know he's referring to the coming of the Lord, but here's how the illustration that he used. He said, behold, the husbandman wait for the precious seeds of the earth and have long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, if you'll understand the chart of Israel and how it's laid out with their harvest and with their sowing and with their reaping and with their coming back and the full cycle that we do in farming, that early rain is just as important as the latter rain, and the latter rain is just as important as the early rain. And so James said, the husbandman, he sows the seeds, and then with patience, he waits for it. And so what we're finding here, that he waits a long while, and I want you to remember here, God is not governed by time like you and I. He is not governed by days like you and I. And I mentioned this the other night in church, and that Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in testifying about it, the reason that the writer said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever was because you and I, all we understand is time. And we just understand that we do have yesterdays and today. But actually, the writer could have said Jesus Christ the same. And that should have been sufficient enough. If he had just said Jesus Christ the same, should have been sufficient enough. But because you and I are governed by time, he reminds us that what he did yesterday, he'll do today. What he does today, he will help us in tomorrow. So, because we are governed by time, we become impatient with God that is in eternity, that is not governed by time. And sometimes the church gets weary. Now, in Isaiah's day, and in Isaiah's prophecy time, the church was here just about, if I got my time frame right, they were going into bondage, they were going into captivity, and it looks like they wasn't going to prosper at all, and Isaiah was trying to step up and give them a little word of hope and say, look at here, Jacob, look at here, Israel, God knows where you're at, he knows, and sometimes, church, we fail to realize that God still reigns. Listen to me here. You know what I want to preach about tonight? Now, listen. Here's what I want to preach about. Even though the church gets so weary and gets so tired, we must stay encouraged. Amen. In our laboring. Amen. Even though the church becomes faint-hearted and despondent in spirit, weary in spirit, we must still believe and we must still have hope in God that God will bring our children home. Now, this was the hope of the church. This was what he said, I'll do. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. You know how far you can go east? Just as long as you keep going east, you'll keep going east. And as long as you keep going west, you'll keep going west. Now you can go north and south and he'll turn you around, bring you back another direction. But east and west has no space. But now that ain't all he said. You know what he said? I'll go just as far as I need to go. Now, let me slow down and stop right here just a second. Because I want to preach what I've got on my heart. I just said all this so I could get to my message of what I want to preach. God will, God can, and God is able to go get our children and bring them back home. Just as good as he was going to get Israel and bring them from out of every nation and out of every country until everybody turn them loose and send them back home. He can go. Now, every one of our churches, all of our churches basically are made up of families. Amen. They're family churches. Some's got two or three generations in their family, in the church. Now, I'm over at Mount Olive. And as far as the dean, I'm the only one there, me and Pat. But at New Corinth, I got two generations there. At the temple, I got two generations there. I got children and grandchildren sitting there. And most of our churches are made up of children. But hear me out. I'm not talking about just bloodline children. I'm talking about children of the church. We have got pews that are sitting empty. We have got seats that are vacant. We have got slots that are not filled. We have positions that are not being held. We have places that are not being occupied. We have things that needs to be done that can't be done because they're not there. And what I'm going to tell the church tonight, God is able to go and bring our children home. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know it can. Now I want you to notice a word here. I will say to the north, give up. I'll say to the south, don't hold back. Huh? You know what he's saying there? Or keep not back. Let me get it right. Keep not back. I want you to bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Far. Now, when we think about something being far, now that's not fire, but that's, I call it far sometimes, but it's far as being distant. When we think about far, we think about distance. When we think about far, we think about a way off. When we think about far, but I want to tell you, far could be just the fact they're just outside the door. Far could be their way in a hard country. Far can be, they can be a long way. Far means they could be simply they're not sitting on their pews. If we had every one of our folks back on our pews that came through our churches, we would be a prosperous church. We would be a full church. We would be a holy church. We would be a good church. But our children are not on their pews. Now, when I'm saying children, I'm not necessarily meaning your sons and daughters or your siblings. I'm talking about children that was of the church. We've had them to pass through our churches so much. We've had them to look like, if you can even talk them as hard as you can to get them back for a homecoming, you're doing good anymore. If you could just get them to come back for a special Mother's Day, you're doing good anymore. But I want to tell you tonight, I felt this on my heart to preach it at the campground tonight. God is well able, church, to go and get them afar. He can say to the north, give them up. He can say to the south, don't you hold them back. You turn them loose. I'll go as far as the east. I'll go as far as the west. I'll go as far as it takes. I can bring my children home. Let me tell you where your children and our children and our loved ones and our church family, where they're at. This far away or this far could mean a matter of location. I've already made this statement here. What I mean by that, they simply are not here. They're not out on our pews. They're not coming back to our choirs. They're not even singing our specials anymore. They're not even using their talents in our sanctuaries anymore. So therefore, as far as location. And what I mean by this, and I let me just mention as far as our own homes, they'll say when they leave our home and when they leave our church, it seems that we find ourselves unable to have complete control of them. You notice that? The old saying, as long as they sit at my table, as long as they sleep in my beds, as long as they put their feet under my table, they'll do what I say. But we've got some that's not at our tables anymore. We've got some that's not sleeping with us anymore. We've got some that's not in our choirs anymore. We've got some that's not singing in our special singing anymore. I want to tell you where they are, but I want to tell you what I'm looking for is the Holy Ghost. And God speak to the Holy Ghost and said, go and get them and bring them back to the house of God. I believe they can do some good for God. I believe they can be back. I'm a preacher to you now. Isaiah said, if Jacob don't worry about it, he can go get them. If we could only trust that one day God will say to the Holy Ghost, bring them home. How many of you is praying to that end? How many of you is believing God to that end? That all he have to do, Byron Gay, all God has to do, when your words can't do it, Papa, when your words can't reach them, Daddy, when you can't say the things that needs to be said, when you can't come up with the right words to even talk them into coming to the house of God, even with your bribing. And sometimes, you know, come on, son, go to church with us. Our mama's going to cook us something to eat, and we're going to have a good time. And, you know, we do these things, and especially homecoming. We spend our time, and most of our calling cards for homecoming is what's going on in the fellowship hall. I've been as good as you have. Come on now, you know we're going to have some good eating. And we try to bribe them. We try to coach them. But I'm a praying, oh God, speak to your Holy Ghost. Speak to the Spirit of God. And says, go east as far as you need to go. Go west as far as you need to go. Tell the north to turn them loose. Tell the south to hold them back. Bring them home. Hallelujah. They may be far in distance, but they're not out of the reach of God. They may be out of your hearing. They may be out of your control. They may be out of your reach, but they're not out of God's reach. So the distance has nothing, no bearing on what God can do. They're out of our reach. And some of you know that I'm a preaching to you. Let me just take it personally here. Some of you know I'm preaching to you that as long as you had control of your child, you could pretty well handle this. But right now, this out of your control, you know it is. What they do is completely out of your reach. What they act, how they do is completely out of your reach. But I'm a preaching to you tonight, not out of God's. He can get up a posse of any size he needs. He can get up enough angels and command enough of the Holy Ghost to form him a posse. And he can go to the very gutters and the... Whoa! Let me tell you something else that I thought about how far they are. They are far away in their character. They seem to have a lifestyle now. And they seem to live in ways now that we do not approve of at all. And it don't meet our approval at all. And it doesn't matter how we brought them up. And I want to tell you right now, there's folks that's walked out of our holiness churches. Their character is not up to par. I don't care how good they sit under good anointed preaching. I don't care how many times they have felt the Holy Ghost move. When they walked out of our house, when they walked out of our churches, and their character changed, their lifestyle changed, they started doing things, they started living ways that they know is not right. They started acting ways that they know is not right. And we know that in their character, they're far away. In their upbringing, they're far away. All that, the way that you taught them in church and the way you taught them in Sunday school, and these old Sunday school teachers, and some of them are probably done going on now, that taught our children and taught our loved ones Bible verses. I want to tell you, their character is not saying the same thing that they were taught in the house of God. And they're far away in character. Listen. And some of them has taken up habits and pleasures that are totally different than what they were raised in the house of God. But Isaiah said that the Lord said, Jacob, I can go get them. Isaiah said that God said, Jacob, Israel, I can go east and I can go west. I don't keep repeating myself here, but I want you to understand, while you're sitting here with your hands folded, and while you're sitting here and your despondency and this despair, and you're wondering, Lord, it don't look like it's going to ever happen. And while you're in a faint-hearted mode and you're in a mood that you don't understand, I want to tell you, God still has power. God is still omnipotent. He is still almighty. He still can do all things. He can still control all things. And I want to tell you here, you know what God can do about their character? I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. We too have to trust that one day God will say to the Holy Ghost, change their mind and bring them home. Hallelujah. You can talk to them sometimes until you just get plumb weary of trying to explain to them they need to straighten up, need to do right, need to do better. You need to come on. You need to get in. You need to get a hold. You need to stay home. You need to come to church. And we do this. But I want to tell you, there is a Holy Ghost that's powerful, that can be sent by God, that can go into the very heart of these people with a character so wretched and so rough, and said, I want you to change your mind and go back to the church. I don't know about you, but I'm about enthused about it tonight. I'm looking for God to open the door and send them back home. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you where they're at. Another far that they're gone. They're gone real far in regards to hearing this gospel message. There's some that has about decided what we preach and what we teach ain't like it used to be. They have about decided this old coldness gospel message ain't good. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to live that way anymore. But I want to tell you, I know a God. You ever hear him saying, well, I just don't believe it like y'all do anymore. I just don't see it like y'all see it anymore. I just don't understand. I just don't think we have to do like y'all do anymore. I think we can. And they've got far away from hearing the gospel. The very things that used to stir them, the very things that used to trouble them, the very things that used to wonder if they're going to make it or not, Brother W.L., they done got so far that the voices seem faint. They don't seem to hear. They can't make a distinction what the preachers say. Is judgment really real? Is God's wrath coming on us? Is God going to deal with sin? And they've got so far from the gospel that now the preacher can't reach them, and the message can't get to them, and they're out in darkness, and they're now away from the gospel in regard to the gospel. But I want to tell you, I know a God that can send the Holy Ghost, that can amplify His Word, that can send His anointing, that can send His power, and He can now once again let the gospel reach into the very gutters of sin and let them hear once again the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah! Glory, amen. Our words may be faint, but I want to tell you this Holy Ghost can be real. Listen, it's a sad day and a sad fact that so many that has walked out of our churches are willing to go to hell after hearing such messages that they have heard. It's a sad hour. But I want you to go afar. And I want you to go to the ends of the earth and find that boy. Find that daughter. Find that child. Find that singer. Find that boy that's got a talent. Find that girl that could be a blessing. Find that one that I can use. Go out, China, and find that that walked away from that church. And find that that used to sit on those pews. And find that that used to be in their youth choir. Find that that used to come and pray around our altars. And go, I want to tell you what, I want you to go and get them. And I want you to go and get them. And bring them home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, in my text, we hear the command of God. We hear when the Lord gives the command. And if you'll notice in verse 6, he said, and I will say to the north. Give up. Amen. Give up. He can go, Brother W.L. Smith, right into their living room between them and their companion and said, I want to know, do you want to go home? Tim, I started pastoring at Mount Otter. I'd go up to Coquit. I'd see folks all over town. I don't know how the church got me scattered around town, but everybody know me in town. I guess because they put me in the paper or something. I don't know. But ever looks like it, I'd go, oh, you're the pastor of Mount Otter. I used to go there. My mom and daddy used to go there. I remember being raised up there. I remember looking in the windows out there. I remember, and can I tell you, I said, oh, God, if I could just get a portion of them, if I could just get some of them, if I could just get a few of them, if I could get your son, Dad, if I could get your daughter, Mom, if I could get your children, if I could get your sister, if I could get your brother, if I could get somebody just to come back. I said, oh, God, but I've been there 3 years, and I hadn't been able to get a one, but I'm a preacher tonight. God's Holy Ghost can. Go get my children. You tell them, turn them loose. You tell the north, turn them loose. You tell the south, give up. Don't hold back. Don't keep back. I could just about see it, Stephen. That Holy Ghost is going. That old boy's house. That son's house. And he's sitting there. And he says, first time I thought about church and I don't know when. First time I thought about going back to church and I don't know when. And all it is, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to go back home. Them folks have been waiting on you to get back to the house. Oh, I feel the sweet Holy Ghost here. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but I thought about you as I was studying for this message. And I was praying about this message. And I was seeking God about this message. I was thinking about us. And I thought about our churches. And I said, oh God, if I could just get those that are set on these pews and come back and sit again. Oh God, but I'm telling you, Lord, would you send the angel? Would you send the Holy Ghost? Would you send the Spirit of God and go and tell them, give them up? Before you write them off, give God another chance.
Before you turn them loose, let God do something. Before you say, no, it ain't no use, let God do it again. Come on, church, God can do it. We ride them all too easy. We turn them loose too easy. We say there's no use, but I want to tell you, God can.
I'm capable of writing your family off. I'm subject to get weary with them. But I want to tell you, God never does. God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. While you are back in office, and while you're sitting down, church, and says, looks like we're just going to be our little crowd. How y'all doing over at Mount Ida? Are we holding our own? Shame on us. Well, we got a fair crowd. Shame on us. Well, it looks like I'm keeping them encouraged. We're having a good service. Man, you should have seen me Sunday morning. Come on now. Shame on us. Shame on us. Their pews are still empty. Their pallets that you laid them on under the seat has been folded out. They're gone out of the house of God. Somebody needs to wonder, will the Lord go and get them? Stir us up, church. You'll never get them back on your pallets. You'll never get them back on your laps. You'll never get them bouncing on your knees. But I want to tell you, by God's help, you can get them back in the house of God. If I didn't believe it, I'd fold my Bible, go to the house, and say, there ain't no need doing anything. Let's just see what God's going to do with the rest of us. But I still believe God's going to do something for them. This is just a natural, it's a carnal situation here that I'm going to tell you about. Pat had a first cousin. Just up and left. Nobody knew where he went. Stayed gone 30-something years, wasn't it? Never come home when his mama died. Never come home when his daddy died. They didn't know where he's dead or alive. He was just gone. The only brother that he had prayed for him for over 30 years. And finally, he said, I got so desperate. I said, God, I know you can find him. God, if I could call him, I'd call him. God, if I could go get him, I'd go get him. But he said he finally just took him to the altar and said, God, go wherever he is. God went all the way to California and told him, you can go back home if you want to. Next thing you know, he shows up in Nashville, Georgia, looking kind of rough, looking kind of threadbare. Went to his brother. His brother said, I tell you what, all your inheritance from mom and daddy's still yours. He said, I don't want it. I don't deserve it. I'm just glad to be home. I'm a preaching to you tonight. God, go get my child. Go get my son. Go get my loved one. Go get my family. Go get those. Go get them and bring them back. I want to tell you, they may not look like you want them to look, but if God, oh, hallelujah, if God will go get them, he'll come home. He felt so bad that he left home. He didn't want none of his inheritance. He had one sister and one brother. He said, y'all go ahead and split it. You should have already spent it anyhow. I don't deserve it. But he said, I saved it. I thought she's coming back any time now. I want to tell you, God's got an inheritance. I'm waiting on him to get back to it. He's been holding it for him. Oh, I said he's had it laid up. He said it's still theirs. I'm holding it for you. You can still have it. They can still claim it. If you got a loved one that's lost, you got one that's away from home, if you got somebody in your church, whether it be somebody that you used to sit with on the pew, if it's somebody you used to go to church with, if it's somebody you just used to know, if it's just somebody you used to be around, I want you to stand at your feet and would you stand? Jacob, I redeemed you. Jacob, I formed you. I made you. And don't you get discouraged on me now. I know you got children scattered all over the place. But I'm going to go tell them. Turn them loose. How many of you left to see God do that for you? Oh, how many of you left to see God? Go and get him wherever you find him. I don't care what kind of shape he's in. Tell him his inheritance is still here. Whew. Tell him the promise is still his. Tony, I'm just going to talk to you here. I ran into your brother the other day when Sister Satter's passed away. Yeah. Hadn't seen him in a while. I told him, I said, you know what? I carried your name in my Bible for a long time so I could remember to pray for you. You know what he told me? You put it back in there. You put it back in there. That's what he said. You put it back in there. And you keep praying for me. You know what they're saying? I want to come home. I'm a coming home. If you don't quit, I'm a coming home. If you don't give up on me, I'm a coming home. If you don't turn, if you hold on, church, he can bring them home. Hallelujah. You're looking for a revival for you to shout? Why don't you let the children come home? Let's rejoice with them. You're looking for revival so you can rejoice and see how saved you are? Shame on you. Let's get a burden for the lost. How many of you want to come around this altar? Let's talk to the Lord. I don't know how long I preached. I'm sorry if I preached too long for you. But I want to deliver my heart.